taken interest in your prayers this morning. I'd like to look at a subject that affects all of us. In some ways, it's more pertinent for young people, and yet it is something that we all work with and that we all certainly are involved in. The Bible has a lot to talk about. But we all like friends, and we all have friends, and we all, so I want to look at the subject of friendship, true friendship, I would say. That's what I would title it. In many ways, Jesus is our truest friend, and he is the example that we find we draw many lessons from. We learn how to be a friend from how he befriended us, and we want to be his friend. A lot of the things we're going to talk about apply to our friendship with God. Now, there's a lot in the world as they think about friends. There's a lot of ado about having friends and being friended in social media and all those kind of things. And just a few statistics in relation to that. According to a 2021 survey, the average person in America has between 3 and 5 close friends. There's a certain person that studied it. Dunbar proposed a theory that humans can only maintain a limited number of social relationships, estimated to be around 150. So in other words, the number of relationships or friends that you can have that you keep up with and that you maintain friendship with, that you stay in touch with, kind of the maximum number is around 150. Seems like that's often close to the limit. That includes all types of relationships, including close friends and family members and all that kind of thing. So often there's somewhat of a limit to the total number we have, total number of friends. Of course, there's different circles of closeness of friendship. If there's 3 to 5 really close friends you have, oftentimes there's a bigger circle of friends that you're not quite as close with, and then a bigger circle with that, several concentric circles of within your friend level of friendship. We all want to have friends. Studies have shown that having 5 or more friends can increase happiness by 60%. People that have friends tend to be happier. And there's a lot of other benefits that go with having friends too. In addition to that, they notice that there's a decline in close friendships happening in the United States. Survey by a certain organization found that just 13% of U.S. adults say that they have 10 or more close friends, compared to 33% in 99. So in other words, what people called close friends in this survey declined from 1990. They said there was 33, and when this survey was done recently, much more recently, it was just 13. So the number of close friends has decreased. And I think if you'd study social media, you would see quite a bit of that. Science suggests the role of friends in American social life is experiencing a pronounced decline. Study authors revealed that Americans report having few close friendships than they once did, talking to their friends less often, and relying less on their friends for personal support. And they give kind of two reasons for that. One, of course, is the idea of social media and the use of social media to have a lot of more distant friendships and not as much close friendships, not as many close friendships. They also threw in the fact that free time is increasingly consumed by work for many Americans, and they threw that as a factor. I think many of us, many people have less time spent with family and with friends in some ways. There's exceptions to that and various different aspects of that. But work does consume and isolate people in a number of ways. Loneliness among people who lack quality friendships, marriage relationships, and other relationships, it increases your risk for heart attack, stroke, and premature death. They have a definite, feel that there's a definite physical link to your well-being compared to the friendships that you have. Lack of friendship increases our risk for anxiety, depression, trauma, and other mental illnesses. Having friends is important for our physical well-being. I think God made us to have friends. He wants us to have friends and be friends. One of the descriptions I came across, behavioral scientists describe a close friendship as a relationship that involves a long-lasting bond of sacrifice and shared moments. I found it very interesting. They described it as being a big part of a close friendship is sacrifice. Sacrifice and shared moments. A true friend prioritizes your happiness, never asks you to put a friendship before your principles, and you miss them when they're gone. So just a couple of key things they describe a true friendship as: a long-lasting bond of sacrifice, prioritizing your happiness, and never asking you to put your friendship before principles, and you miss them when you're gone. Interesting, several things they point out as being parts of a key of a true friendship, a close friendship. Friendship is a popular subject. We all want friends. It kind of touches on several other things. Friendliness is a part of our mission in this world as outreach. And so in other words, friendliness is a broader subject than what I'm focused on this morning, as in true friendship. We need to be friendly in our outreach work, friendly at work, friendly with our neighbors. We need to be friendly in many different ways, and the Bible teaches that. That's could be part of this subject, but it goes beyond the scope of what I'm really looking at this morning. We're talking this morning about closer friendships, and yet some of the principles here relate to those things. We want to be, and there's some things to consider there. And as we relate to others, as we reach out to others, there's a sense in which we have friends at work. We have friends among our neighbors. We have friends with those we meet and that we're working with. That we know, and yet for our closest friends, we want to have the circle a little bit closer than that, probably, and we'll be focusing on that this morning. If you want friends this morning, challenge, the message is for you to be a friend to others in whatever way you can be. And I believe that the scripture teaches you will find that you have friends if you will be a friend in that way. Let's turn to the classic example of friendship, 1 Samuel chapter 20. And I want to read there verses 1 through 42 about David and Jonathan. And you'll remember that this was a tumultuous time for David. Saul was after him in a number of different ways. The previous chapter, chapter 19, first verse, Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. Saul was through with David. He wanted to get rid of him. And Jonathan stood up for him a number of times, verse 5 and 6. Well, 4, 5, and 6, Jonathan spoke to his father and said, look, David has risked his life for the kingdom. He's tried to help you. There's no reason for you to feel this way about him. And verse 6, Saul repented, or Saul changed his mind for a spell. But he soon went back, and verse 15, he asked for David to be brought that he could get rid of him. And so in a number of different ways, he was just after David. And so then we get to this chapter 20. I'll just start reading there. And David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life? And he said unto him, God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. And David sware moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. Then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee. I just break in there. Jonathan realized how seriously his father was seeking after David's life, but he was willing to entreat his father for David. He was willing to identify with David and to entreat for his life, even though he realized his father was that hard set against him. And verse 5, and David said unto Jonathan, behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king and meet. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field unto the third day at even. And if thy father at all miss me, then say, David earnestly asked leave of me, that he might run to Bethlehem city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. If he say, thus it is well, thy servant shall have peace. But if he be very wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant, for thou hast brought thy servant unto a covenant of the Lord with thee. Notwithstanding, if there be in me iniquity, slay me thyself, for why shouldst thou bring me to thy father? David totally opened himself up to Jonathan. If Jonathan saw anything wrong with him, if there was a reason that he should be put to death, if there was a reason that he should be subject to this kind of punishment, he was opening himself up to Jonathan for that. Talk about commitment to each other. And let's jump down to verse 14, 15. This is a familiar story. Verse 15. But also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. And they went on there, and David and Jonathan made arrangements how he would hide and how they would let each other know how the king responded to that. And verse 30. Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse? And verse 32, and Jonathan answered Saul his father and said unto him, wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done? And Saul cast a javelin at Jonathan to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. Jonathan risked his own life to try to defend David, to try to bring reason into the discussion, into the way he was handled. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had done him shame. Verse 35, and it came to pass in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David and a little lad with him. And he said unto his lad, run, find out now the arrows which I shoot. And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. And when the lad was come to the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad and said, Is not the arrow beyond thee? And Jonathan cried after the lad, Make speed, haste, stay not. And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the lad knew not anything. Only Jonathan and David knew the matter. And Jonathan gave his artillery unto his lad and said unto him, Go carry them to the city. And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of the place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times. And they kissed one another and wept one with another until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, Go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, The Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. It's a very interesting and compelling story of two close friends who were there for each other's good, were committed to each other, and were willing to risk their lives for each other, for the love that they had for each other. A couple of questions just to consider in general. Does it matter what friends we spend time with? Does that matter? Is that important? Is what matters just that we have fun with them? We have a good time with our friends. How can you tell if your friends are the right kind of friends? How can you discern that? What do you look for in friends? And what effect do friends have on your life? Does it, again, kind of coming back to the question, is it important? Does it matter? But what effect do they have on your life? Can you objectively see the effect that your friends are having on your life? Like we said, the scriptures have a lot of direction, a lot to say about friends. First of all, just a couple things in relation to the friends we choose, in relation to good friends. Proverbs 13:20, He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. People have found, depending what you want to accomplish in life, if you spend time with, if you want to get close to a certain subject, if you want to get good at something, go and spend time with someone who is good at that, someone who knows how to do it. If you want to be a good woodworker, you go and spend time, become friends with a woodworker. If you want to be a wise person, spend time with wise men, with wise people. Now, if you spend time with foolish, you're going to become a fool. You're going to become more of a fool. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. We become like the people we're with. We hear that many different times, many different ways, but it is true, and it is what the Bible teaches. 1 John 3:7-8. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And I kind of put that down just so that we evaluate our friends by whether they're righteous or, you know, we can look at people, and if they are righteous, they're the kind of friends we want to spend time with. He that committeth sin is of the devil. It's easy for people to excuse their friends some of the weaknesses or downfall or things that their friends do wrong. It's easy for us to excuse that and to be friends with them anyway. But be discerning, because he that committeth sin is of the devil, the Bible says. It makes a difference who we spend time with. Proverbs 27:17 is a very common verse. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And there's a number of, iron sharpening iron. We know that to sharpen some, two materials that are the same tend to wear each other. Oftentimes, actually, to sharpen a blade, they try to use a different material so that it wears mostly off of the material, off of the blade that you want to sharpen. But if you have two materials that are the same, they wear each other. They tend to grind and remove material from each other, and they both sharpen each other in a similar way. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Being with a wise friend, being with a good friend, a friend that's good for us, helps us to grow, helps us to become more of who we should be. Friends who never challenge or question one another are liable to remain dull, are liable to not, it's not what a friend is for. A friend is to help us to, a friend is to challenge us when we have, when we make a decision and may have not considered everything, or to question us. That's, a true friend will do that. A good friend can lead us to greater godliness. And I want to just turn to a couple verses in Proverbs there. Good friend will help us to improve. Proverbs 12, verse 5. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. Thoughts of the righteous are right, implying that he's sharing those with other people. The counsels of the wicked are deceitful. They tend to mislead and deceive others. We spend time with the right, people. It helps us to do what's right. Proverbs 15:22. Don't think these are duplicates from other places. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Again, bringing the idea that we're open to input from others. And in the multitude of counselors, purposes, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but with the multitude of counselors, they're established, where purposes are established and good things are accomplished. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. We know that. Friend loveth at all times. Bad friends, on the other hand, several verses in relation to that, Proverbs 22, 24 through 25, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Just highlighting the fact that we become like the people we're with. Make no friendship with an angry man, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Become like the people we're with. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil communications, people that swear, talk dirty, do those kind of things. Many people would like to think that that doesn't rub off on them. It doesn't affect them. But it does. Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. And evil communications corrupt good manners. Proverbs 12:26, the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. Spend time in the way of the wicked, you become deceived. Unworthy friends, unloyal friends, friends that are not true. A good example of that is the parable of the prodigal son, who, when he was living in riotous living, he certainly had many friends, he had many people following with him. But when he got to the end of his money, when he got to the end of himself and end of his resources, he longed to eat what the pigs would eat, and no man would give him anything. You talk about being someone without friends. He longed to eat what the pigs would eat, but no man would give to him. He didn't have any friends left at all. His many friends had disappeared. They didn't stick with him when the going got tough, which is what a loyal friend should do. All right, the second main point I would have is how to be a friend. And I would just like to turn to another account of some who were loyal friends, Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. As an example, and a story of a poor man, a man who couldn't return the favor, at least right away, and yet he had some very loyal friends, some very worthwhile friends who were willing to give themselves to help him in whatever way they could. Luke 5, 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as Jesus was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed of a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and he departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Of course, the outstanding of this thing in here, this passage, is verse 20. When he saw their faith, whose faith did he see? And I'm certain that the man on the couch had a lot of faith, that he asked his friends to bring him there, what we suppose, although we don't know, there's not a lot of facts recorded. I would certainly assume that he had a lot of faith, but the men who carried him and who went to the trouble to find a way to get up on that rooftop and to let him down through into the multitude. You talk about faith. You talk about being a friend. You talk about someone who is seeking the good of someone else, who's willing to sacrifice themselves for the good of others. The first thing I've downed to how to be a friend would be to invest in the lives of others. These men did that. They spent their time and effort to bring their friend to for healing. We think of Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. To show ourselves friendly means to spend some time to invest ourselves in a way, to listen to them, to spend some time with them, to hear them out, or to sacrifice for them, to do things that they need. Invest in the lives of others. Second thing I've down is to stick with them even when others drop them. There are so many people, and there's so many different ways that people get hurt in this world today. For many people, popularity is so fickle. And I don't know how I don't understand fully why God made us all the way he did, but God made some people that are much more popular than others. And it just seems to be the way it is, the fact of life. And but he intends for us to, that can be a test of a true friend. Stick with them even when others drop them. God has people in all our lives. God has put people in all our lives that need friends, that are looking for friendship and need someone to stick with them, not someone to help them. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Our friends, true friends, are not there for when you're popular, are not there for when everything is going good. True friends are to be there, and the test of a true friend is when you're facing adversity, when your other friends have left, when other people have turned against you. And there's various things to consider there. There's a number of ways that when people, we want to be discerning the direction people are going, and if they're going against truth and against what God has taught, obviously that puts a different perspective on it. But if people have lost friends because of other reasons that are outside of their control, or are not, or maybe because they stood up for what was right, maybe because they did what was right, it is very important that we stick with them and be their friends. Be careful not to snub others, not to exclude others. Many times there are people that we consider to be closer friends than others, but it's very important that we include, that we don't intentionally snub others, or and be careful not to, that they don't feel that way, that they don't feel like they're being left out. It's important that we have a broad circle of friends if we can. There are always going to be closer friends, some friends that are closer than others, but we want to have include as many people as you can. Third thing, be sensitive to their needs and seek opportunities to help. And so this comes with being able to listen to them. Part of that thing of sacrifice, giving up yourself, not thinking so much about yourself, but thinking about them, includes the idea that we are aware of their needs. When they have needs in their life, when they're coming upon difficulties in life, we find that out, we realize that, and we seek opportunities to help. How to be a friend. Be sensitive to their needs and seek opportunities to help. General. And part of that is to actually, genuine love relates to practical actions. We look for ways that we can actually help, can actually do something for them that can help them, can alleviate their needs. 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Our love for others is not just to be a verbal expression, but it's to be actions, to include actions, to be in deed and in truth. We know, probably all have experience when people say that they're our friends, they act like they're our friends, but it doesn't translate into actions, doesn't translate into help when we actually need it. Friend in need is a friend indeed. It's a saying we hear. James 2:15-16 would talk to this. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? A true friend helps. A true friend does what they can to alleviate our needs, the needs of their friendship, their friends. Fourth thing I've done is find ways to communicate and stay in touch. And uh, We find the pattern for that from Jesus in Hebrews 13, verse 5, where he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus is the believer's closest, truest friend. He will never leave us. Our friends will endeavor to stay close to us. And this is where today it's much easier than it was in times past. It's so easy just to send a message or a call to someone or a letter or whatever. But there's many different options we have to stay, just if someone comes to our mind, just to send them a note. We talked about that earlier this morning. It's so easy for us to do that. And yet, do we do it when people come to our mind, when we think of them? Find ways to communicate and stay in touch. The fifth thing I have down, a true friend gives constructive advice when needed. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The wounds of a friend may hurt. That may not be pleasant at the time, but it's constructive and it's helpful. And it's what we need. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. They help to, they bring healing. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Those who just talk nice and yet, yeah, they butter us up and they talk real nice in a way like that, and yet they're not true friends. Galatians 4:16, the Apostle Paul brought out this thought. He says, apparently he had said some hard things to them and they were not accepting them, they were not taking them well. And he says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? A true friend will tell us the truth and we won't become their enemy. We'll accept that and profit from it. But the Apostle Paul was facing that there. It seemed like they were becoming his enemy. They were marking him as an enemy because he had told the truth. He had been a friend to them, but they didn't accept it. Proverbs 27, verse 9, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by a hearty counsel. Ointment is soothing and is to heal. Brought about by the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 and 10 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. If we have true friend with us, it's such a help. As we go through life, the times we fall, it can help us. And you could take this out further. There have been studies done that people in a group look better than individually. Being together with other people is an asset. It's a help to us. And truly, two are better than one. If we have friends, we can accomplish more, we can be stronger, and we can do, it's a help to us in our Christian life. A couple lessons from our friendship with God. I'm especially impressed with James 2:23, where it says that Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. For us to be a friend the way we should be, but especially we seek to be a friend of God. Moses also says that the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. Another lesson we can learn from man's friendship with God, but speaking face to face, there's some lessons there about being face to face with friends. But Moses, the Lord spake to Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. John 15:12-14, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Jesus laid down his life for us. And he says, we can be his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. We can be Jesus' friend. We can be the friend of God if we do his commandments. Do whatsoever I command you. In conclusion, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His friendship to us reached out to us while we were unlovely, while we were still sinners, and he became our friend and drew us from that. May God help us to be the friends that we should be, to be friends to others like he is to us. And may God help us to be discerning in our friendships so that they are constructive and they help to sharpen us and help us to be who we should be. Let's pray.